Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 285, Top of the Day to you, Gary.
Hello, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're sitting here in the dining room right next to the kitchen. We've got a, we realise it's not a shepherd's pie. It's
no,
a cottage pie.
Don't get the mixed up.
No.
They don't like it.
They get really offended.
Because
it's made of beef mince.
Not shepherd mince.
No. Probably wouldn't eat it if it was. Feel a bit.
Wouldn't eat it if it was mince of cottages either.
No, sounds gravelly. And you are making these apples.
Apples and pears stewed up together.
That sounds really good.
A bit of
cream
on the side. It's a bit low effort, but high value.
We've both made winter. Can you hear the cat meowing?
I can.
She makes that. So I don't know if it's going to show up, but she makes this sound when she's holding, like, she's got a little, you know, the little toy mice, and she goes, wow, just does that for a while on and off. So don't get worried. She's fine.
She's not on the rack or anything.
No.
We're not talking about
her. She's just sitting on the lounge. She's fine. Mm. But yes, we both made winter food. Mm-hmm. And then we were talking about how it's more exciting when it becomes winter because you get to make winter food.
Look forward to winter food.
Yeah. Mm. It's very, it's summer food is, whilst it's lovely.
It's lovely because it's summer. And you eat it because it suits summer. But you look forward to winter food.
Yeah. Do you think it's because it takes longer to cook the winter food? So, like, there's the whole build-up. You know, you do the slow cook whatever.
Yeah, because you want to stand in front of the oven and the stove in the winter because it's warm.
True.
In the summer.
That's a good point.
It's just cold. I don't want to get any of that.
Far too cold and hot. Mm. I'm still got a cracker in my hand.
I have. I'm watching you hold that.
Hang
it's
on.
Been there for a while.
Yeah.
Mm. Again, that makes for great radio.
Do you know what? It's either brie or camembert. And the reason I say that is because I still don't know the difference.
I don't know the difference either, but I'm not French, so it doesn't matter.
Do you think anybody that isn't French knows?
No.
No. There's probably French people who are too scared to say they don't know, but they don't know.
I think they're taught it in infant school.
Yeah, I think so.
I think on farm.
Maybe it's the equivalent of preschool or what was the one before preschool? Sometimes there would be one before.
Was that prep? No, that's just preschool.
Nursery something. Anyway, I can't remember. So it's not worth talking about.
Mm.
I've got a quiz for you.
Excited.
It's based on a joke that you made.
Okay, good. That doesn't limit it a great deal since.
No. And also you're trying to remember what was the reference or like a film or TV reference that would have suited a quiz.
Brain's ticking over. Brain's ticking over now.
A little bit of watching as well, which is good. No news because I just want to have a chat.
The only news that I had was you talked last week about the making a version of The Office in Australia.
Yes.
And I saw who has been listed.
Who?
Felicity Ward.
Curly hair.
Yes. Mm. She's been on Thank God You're Here and
I know
she's been on Spicks and Specks and stuff.
Oh, she'd be good.
She's
I can
lead.
See that.
Mm, she'd be really good.
Uh-huh.
She'd be really good. And it's set in a factory.
Right. So I am still eating cheese and I apologise, but not really apologise.
Because it's delicious.
And I'm enjoying it. But they did say there was going to be a twist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make their own. So that's good instead of like a – because I think the American one also did like paper supplies or stationery or something.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of time for that. I'm hoping we get a lot of like Aussies that are – funny, who are in funny things Fisk or
that'll be the,
I just think Fisk and Utopia,
it's
basically.
Like all the shows that we watch, we'll know everyone in it. They'll all come from places.
And it's probably going to be filmed in Melbourne, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
Most comedies are here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's going to obviously take a little while. No, it probably won't. Australians just get it done.
Get it done.
There's probably not a lot of pre-production that's going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
We may even get it as a Christmas present. That'd be all right.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that it's going to be sold to America?
they're not renowned for appreciating our sense of humor.
Yeah.
They look at it and sort of furrow their brow when they see some of our stuff. And the UK like our stuff.
Yeah.
But I think Americans just sort of look at things like Kath and Kim and just go, oh, I don't understand. Like Utopia and, as you said, Fisk. Mm. And our, you know, we've got a great collection of comedies from I love The Librarians. Outland
yeah,
was
Librarians
a
great.
Really funny series. Like ABC just churns them out.
Mm.
And I just don't see the same traction in the US because they just don't get our humour.
Also probably because they've had their own office, which they loved, absolutely loved. And the other one was the original. So if they were going to watch another Office, they're probably going to watch one with Ricky Gervais because he's the name. It's the original one. Yeah, maybe not. But I reckon there's so many streaming services these days. It's going to probably show up. But
it'll
how many people actually watch it? I wonder if I'm trying to think. So their Auntie Donna went on to Netflix in America. In fact, it was made in America. Well, a season of it last year or something. So, but that humor is really different to what The Office would be, an Australian version of The Office would be. Yeah, I remember the Kath and Kim. I saw the trailer for the Kath and Kim, the American version, and it already didn't feel right. It lost.
Because it doesn't have the same type of humor, and if it turns into their humor, which suits them, it's not the same style that matches the show that we've been watching.
Yeah.
So it would be a whole different show.
Yeah. That's one reason why I've never really watched the American Office, simply because I really love the UK one. Mm-hmm. I've seen an episode here and there, but that particularly that first season is apparently almost episode for episode of the UK one. And I was like, well, I've already seen it.
The first two series, they duplicated, and it wasn't until I got to the third series when they then didn't have that same the existing storyline. It's like Queer as Folk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which
I think there were
two series in the UK. US did it and they replicated those, and then once they'd finished, then they created their own stories for their characters.
Wasn't Littlefinger from Game of Thrones in the UK?
He was.
One? Yeah.
He certainly was.
Probably didn't have the special facial hair that he had.
No, because back then he was young and good looking, and that was the whole point of the – well, not the whole point of the
show. Was he one of the leads?
Yes.
He was, thought so. Yeah. Littlefinger. Nobody knows his real name. He will forever be known as Littlefinger.
Yes.
I can imagine if he was like doing some sort of not Broadway, West End production up on the lights at the top of those, to be like, starring Littlefinger. Like amazing. He's like, can you stop it? I'm playing Hamlet.
I have a real name, you know. No, you don't.
So. I think you might find you don't.
Yeah, I've got news for you. That's going nowhere.
There's only a few people who have gotten out of that with their real names. Mm. And immediately I think of Pedro Pascal.
Yes.
Because now I'm trying to remember what his character's name was.
Oh, some Latino name.
No, he wasn't from Seville. It was from,
it wasn't made up. Seville,
no, definitely no, not. Definitely no. Wasn't. I also, whenever I think of that Kath and Kim, the US Kath and Kim version, I also remember that Roseanne Barr bought the rights to Absolutely Fabulous.
Yes.
And then there was some weird Roseanne episode where Idina and Patsy are in it.
Yes. And it was odd, again, because
so weird.
The humour is a different type of humour.
Totally different
humour. Totally different humour.
And I understand that Roseanne was probably fangirling.
Yeah.
She was like, I love Ab Fab. Just get them on. This is going to be brilliant. My dream come true. I can do whatever I want. The show is named after me.
Even the other movie of Ab Fab they did, remember there was a one-off episode that went for about an hour, and it was where they went to the US and they met the son, Serge.
I remember that.
Whoopi Goldberg
That's
was
right.
in that.
She was
and
in
there
it.
Were a couple of other US actors in it, and just them being in it, again, highlighted the different humour styles.
Yeah. But they all knew.
Yes.
Like they were all in on it, but you're right. The way that they couldn't act in the English way. Isn't that weird?
It's the comedy. It's the way they deliver the comedy. I mean, it's unique to, well, it's not specifically unique, but Ab Fab had a style. And it's sort of a bit different to, say, Monty Python and different to The Office and Ricky Gervais. Mm. But it's still of a type that the US isn't.
Yep, totally. Oh, I can smell that apple smelling really good. Sorry, Ampere. Ampere, I forgot to say. Ampere,
you don't, it'll get annoyed.
I can smell a little bit of the cottage pie, but at the moment it's the apple and Ampere. Ampere. I've been kind of rewatching some old shows that I want to talk about. So we might as well just get into some watching suggestions.
Let's get to it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Because that's why you're here. You said you've watched a lot of things.
I've watched some stuff. I have.
And you're excited
this
about
is rare
it.
Rare for me.
But do you know what I keep forgetting to talk about? And now it's like a month or so. We went and saw Kitty Flanagan live.
Yes, we did.
I keep forgetting to talk about it. In fact, I actually, in one episode when I was listening back editing it, I was like, I never spoke about that. I'll just leave it in though. Because I forgot about it. Probably the listener will as well. So now we're going to talk about it. Kitty Flanagan's live show. What was it called? I don't even know. Seriously Smashing, maybe?
Pears and apple are fine, but you've got to say them both together. They get offended.
Pears and apple. Pears and apple. Don't mix one. Definitely back. I'm just looking at Kitty Flanagan's website. Surprisingly, don't be shocked, kittyflanagan.com.
Oh.
I'm trying to see if what her show, like what her live show is called. I don't know.
It's not .au. It's for when she goes international.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, surely she goes over to the UK and does shows, right? She'd be an Edinburgh Festival person, right? She would have to. Oh, there's a lot of live shows that you can watch. There's a collection. Oh, I'm going to stop looking at the Kitty Flanagan. Anyway, that was the first time I'd ever seen Kitty Flanagan live. Oh. I'd never seen her before.
Oh, I saw her
never
last
never seen her show.
I assumed you came with me last time too.
No,
I saw her. She made a very funny joke last time about it was about having sex, but the reference was she now can't go past one of those inflatable men where their arms are waving without thinking of this particular partner that she had at the time.
That's good.
Which was hilarious. And now everyone I went to see that show with, every time we drive past one of those things, we have a chuckle.
Yeah,
and we think of Kitty
always going, remember it.
Oh, that's
so would that have been before COVID that you went and saw her?
Yes, that was about 2 or 3 years ago.
That's
because we all did nothing for a long time.
And because I only mentioned that because when we were watching her, she had a couple of, back when COVID, back in the lockdown, because she was from Sydney and had moved down there like
just as it was started. Yes.
But what I thought was really funny was she would talk about Sydney. She'd like, but you know, you guys from Sydney. I'm like, you've only been there for like 3 years. What are you talking about?
Don't detach yourself. You're one of us. You can't.
One of us.
You can't wash that out of your hair.
You can't. You really can't. But I thought it was really good. I did not know that her going to like her sister appearing. I did not know that was a thing.
Oh, she came out last time too.
Does she go to? Do you know if she's every? She literally tours with her sister.
Yes.
For one song.
And if you
her
look
sister comes
at
out and
Fisk,
sings a song.
Sister's name is in the credits.
Oh,
so I think they're actually almost a duo.
Okay.
Duo is probably a strong word, but I'd say they come as a package. And Kitty does most of the onstage work and the sister comes out and strums the guitar on stage, but I think she has a lot of involvement in the construction of things.
Yeah, she must have a lot of production stuff. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Mm.
Because I didn't know – because. Before the show started, you guys were saying, her sister looks nothing like her. And I went, surely she does. But they don't really, but they act similar.
Oh, you can tell
they're
siblings.
Yeah, you can. They've got similar, like me and Steph, really. We don't look
much alike. No, you don't look alike.
But you can definitely tell when we're together that we are definitely related.
Yeah.
But we're I know we're getting a little off topic, but when I think about you and your brothers, you just look like your brothers. You actually look like you're all related, for sure.
Yes. I saw a photo of myself the other day and straight away went, oh, my God, looks like my older brother. we're becoming more like each other as we're getting older. Because we're all going great, the same old great. But yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of people, my partner Dale, who's been on the pod before,
yeah,
he's got three brothers and they all you know
they
the
look
story.
Like their brothers.
I'll tell you the story that I know I've told you before.
Yeah.
I'd met two of the brothers and I'd met mum and dad.
Yep.
And I had to go on and I was going to meet another brother, the last brother, for the first time. And we went to the hospital because he and his wife had just had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're all going to split up. We've got to find what room they're in. And they sent me off in a direction on my own. I'm like, well, I don't know who he is. And within 2 minutes, really? I said, I found him. And they all said, how do you know? And I went, because I know the family ass when I see it. They all laugh at that now. I've told them that story since. That's even him, and he's like, yeah, okay.
He's like, yeah, you're right.
I can't shake it. It's there. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's your bottom. You can't shake it. Yeah, it's always going to be with you. That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Kitty Flanagan and her sister come out. Yeah, I know. Anyway. Come out and I like the way that she tells jokes.
Yes,
I like her delivery. And her jokes are I do like Judith Lucy, obviously. She's very funny, but it's completely different. And Kitty really she almost like you the way she delivers so many jokes, you think every single joke is gonna be quite clean.
Yep.
And then she'll say something where you're like, I'm
clean as in clinical.
Yes.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, how many times has she said this before? Mm-hmm. But the way that she delivers it is almost like she's said it.
Yeah.
Just come up with it now.
I went and saw a few shows at the Comedy Festival. I also saw Reese Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a really interesting delivery style that just sounds like he's rambling the whole time. And everything goes into that. And this is a thought.
Yeah.
And it's only when you get to the end that you think, actually, that was all planned, but it's just so seamless in delivery and this flows into that. And he says a couple of times, oh, this isn't the start of this. I haven't started the set yet. I'm just talking. But you realize that he is.
Yeah.
But it's just so seamless in the way that it evolves. And there's all these throwbacks, which are always good in a comedy set.
Yeah,
when they throwback,
always
like
fun.
Said,
link
it back. And similarly, he – in his delivery is really leading up to a punchline.
Yeah.
But it just – the delivery is so entertaining in itself that you just get a lot out of it.
You give a little crack. I went and saw Ross Noble and I'd never seen him before. And at the beginning I was like, oh, hang on a second. I must be tired. I'm going to have to really concentrate. I'm not keeping up. And then after a while I was like, oh, no, he's literally – got about three or four things that he thinks he might talk about during a set and he just gets sidetracked. He talks to the audience. There's running jokes about audience members and then that and then he tries to link that back to something that he, you know, has already pre-prepared and then suddenly the show's done and you're like, oh, feel a bit exhausted from all of that. It was very funny, but I wasn't quite sure what I was laughing at times. I'm going to be honest.
He is a bit scatty and I think that...
And he talks about being scatty whilst being scatty.
Yeah, I think he's got so much in his head going on that I don't think he could follow a strict script.
Yeah, no,
it's just
not
these
at all.
Points that he wants to get to, but how he gets there is different every night. You could see his show a few nights in a row and you pretty much...
It'd be really different.
Fresh each time.
I kind of feel like he's a more... he bounces around faster than Billy Connolly does.
Mm.
Billy Connolly, you know, is just really into telling the story and he gets so incredibly sidetracked, but he'll always kind of come back or ask an audience member to remind him how to come back. But you don't feel like you're getting ping-ponged around as much as Ross Noble. I remember listening to him on Triple J.
Yes,
he used Terry to be Shalkes. On there, yeah, and I really liked him. And I realize now it was because you would get him for those 5 minutes before a song.
Mm-hmm.
Another song and then getting there's like little bite-sized bits. And he's brilliant on QI. Every time he's on
every
there.
Every time he's on QI. Love
so
it.
Good. I think he lives back in the UK, right? I'm pretty sure he does.
I haven't seen him out here for a while.
Okay.
But, I mean, obviously he was out at the festival.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen him in anything that would link him to being a regular out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Mm.
Oh, live shows.
Live shows. I have seen a few. I saw a couple of musicals as well. I saw Rocky Horror, which was entertaining.
Who was Rocky? Who
Jason Donovan.
Oh, I did see he was
impressed.
And this is not the first time he's been.
No. I mean, it's the first time he's been out here.
Okay.
But apparently, I mean, you think he's been over in the UK for years.
Probably 30 years doing right now, right?
Stage shows the whole time. So when you think, oh, he couldn't do that. Oh, actually, he delivered it really
he's
well.
Done that longer than he did Neighbours. That's right. Yeah.
And Miff was in it, and he can't not like Miff.
Oh, is she the narrator?
She's the narrator.
That would be good.
She was fun.
That would be really fun.
So that was a good one. I saw. I saw Hairspray.
Another fine one. I've only ever seen the film.
Oh.
The
go and see. I should have taken it. Next time.
Next time we get go. Ticks. Yeah.
Shane Jacobson was the mum.
Okay. I can see that.
Todd McKinney was the dad.
Brilliant.
They were hilarious.
Productions have got to have Todd in it. At least one production, you know.
Rhonda Birchmore was the Miss Baltimore 1930, whatever.
Yes.
The mum of the other girl.
I think she's got a, or maybe it's already, I haven't caught it yet, but Who Do You Think You Are?
Yes.
Has that already, yes. It was good? I wanted to watch it.
She went to my local high school, as my mother keeps telling me.
Okay. Yes. Or,
my catchment had a boys' school and a girls' school. If we'd been a co-ed, she would have gone to my school.
She would have been to your school. Okay, yes. That makes sense.
She grew up in Punch Bowl.
Did she really?
Yes, there we are. So anyway, I did watch that. She had a good story. Yes, I've seen a few stage shows. I saw Holding Achilles as part of the Sydney Festival.
I haven't heard of this one.
It's, I'm going to describe it. It's you know, Legs on the Wall, where they do a lot of things with high wire and trapeze and things. So that was incorporated into it.
Cool. That's fun.
So they're telling this story of a Greek myth, but they're flying through the air. And then they had music in it by Montaigne. So
oh,
she's
yeah.
in there.
Yeah, nice.
As part of it. Yet it's a serious story about, I won't spoil it. If you don't know the Greek myth, then it's well worth seeing. And if you know it, then you know where it goes. But it's just remarkable the amount of energy and effort that's in it. It's just, it blows you away. That was at Carriage Works. They'd been up to the Brisbane Festival beforehand, and I think it's touring further, but. Yes, I saw that. And I saw another one.
Gee, you've been busy. You have been really busy.
I haven't been on for a while, so I sat and bottled a few hours.
But at the same time, it hasn't been that long.
No. Oh.
But it has, but it hasn't.
Yeah, it has, but it hasn't. Mm. Time gets away.
It's been busy.
Yeah, so a few things I've seen.
I think that when I talk about what I've watched next, it's going to be very funny. I watched the remake of White Men Can't Jump.
Now, if there's a movie out there calling for a remake, I'm surprised that that's taken the 25 years that it has.
Yeah.
Or longer than that, 28.
It's probably early 90s, I reckon.
Now, you remember I told you before, I worked in the video store.
Yeah.
That was in the video store in 1996.
Okay, 1996. That makes sense. So it probably came out, about 94, 95 maybe?
Mm.
In the theatres. I think I saw it at the movies.
So it's 30 years on?
Can I tell you, if you're going to make a remake of a film like this, you need to change the story up a bit, which they did. But they changed the story up, but they made some of the characters quite boring.
Oh.
Or just a bit, there's no reason.
Just wind them down.
And I wonder if it's because you had Wesley Snipes and you had Woody Harrelson, and then you're like, let's get two people that aren't major movie stars to be in this. And then you think, was bigger impact. I didn't enjoy that as much. How funny is that? So I am going to put it out there and say, if you only have time in your life for one version of White Men Can't Jump, go with the original one. Because it's still about basketball players playing two-on-two and trying to like make their money and all that kind of thing. There's no Rosie Perez in the new one. So what's the point of watching it?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Where would you start? How did that get any funding to start with?
How did it
Who
get
gave
through?
That a tick?
No idea. It's fine. Probably if you like basketball these days, there's probably basketball players in there that are pretending to be like street basketballers. I don't know.
Well, back in the day when that was first on air, that was Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and Shaquille. Like that was, they were, basketball was a game.
Yeah,
everyone
big
knew.
Enough that you know, we wanted to go and watch it. Yeah.
I'm not into it, but I wasn't into it then, but I couldn't name anyone now. I might name the couple of Australians.
LeBron.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't in it. But I think that it was – I'm not sure why it was made. I'm just not sure.
The same reason they made Transformers movie. Someone had a hobby.
Yeah.
Someone thought it'd be good. Same reason they made the Ninja Turtle movie after however many years. Oh, I liked it as a kid, so I'm going to do it now.
Give it another go. All right,
go for your life, but don't expect anyone to tag along.
White Man Can't Jump, early 90s, would recommend.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
A good quiz coming up a little bit later on. I'm very excited about that because you're going to – I'm going to see if you can cope with the 50-50. Steph can't. She always gets stressed out. Let's see if you do it. That's why it's entertaining.
That's why it's entertaining. Next time I'm going to come and just watch it as you record. It's going to be worth its
gold. You have watched some other things you would like to recommend.
Mm.
I'm hoping to me as well.
You will love it. And the whole time I sat watching it, I thought you will go crazy. It's the history of sitcoms.
Oh, I would like that.
It's 8 episodes.
There were only eight.
But there were 2 episodes that went to air on SBS, but they're all on demand.
Okay.
But everyone is just packed from start to finish, and they all have a theme. And it just goes from about the 50s or 60s up until now. And I'd say each subject, so there's one just about families. So that'll be family ties and married with children and family matters. There's one about workplaces. So that's from Mary Tyler Moore. Cheers to The Office.
Of course.
There's one about groups of friends. So obviously Friends and Seinfeld are in it, but they talk about, I think even Golden Girls is in it.
Yeah, that one.
They rattle through them all. There's one about outcasts. And outcasts is interesting because they talk about the Addams Family and the Munsters. They talk about Alf, and they talk about Mork and Mindy and Third Rock from the Sun. They talk about just odd people that fit in, the Steve Urkels and what's the guy from?
I remember Perfect Strangers.
Yes, that was in, they talked about that in that episode as well. Mm. Steve Urkel and Screech from.
Oh, yeah, Saved by the Bell. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
They talked about race. So there was a lot where they talked about the Cosby Show and they talked about.
Different strokes
definitely was in it. But they were also talking about how shows like Friends and Cheers, and they rattled off all those ones that had no colour diversity in them all and said these days you wouldn't make them. And they talked about some of the early shows like Leave It to Beaver and that had no black people in the whole show ever.
Not even an episode. Oh. Oh, right.
There was an episode on it was just impressive because you're just watching the whole time and they just keep bringing up one on sex and sexuality. So they were talking about how in I Love Lucy, the whole time from her getting pregnant to having a child, she never used the word pregnant.
Really?
She had separate beds to Desi Arnaz.
Yep.
And in the race episode, they said Desi Arnaz, there was no Latino in a TV in a sitcom
until
for 30 years.
Oh, afterwards. Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's only because he came with Lucy. But from Lucy, you then went to Bewitched was the first show that had a double bed in it.
Yep.
And then
Brady Bunch must have been soon as well.
Brady Bunch was soon after that. But then in terms of women empowerment, you then around the Cosby Show and Who's the Boss, you started getting women in high-powered roles.
With shoulder pads. With massive shoulder pads. Say.
And they'll talk about and a lot of hairspray, really vertical hair. Designing women.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, perfect.
And they'll talk about even sexuality. And they said there was this kooky uncle in Bewitched that was clearly gay, but no one ever said anything. And then they said similarly, the sister in Beverly Hillbillies was the – there's no way she's not a lesbian. But, again, it was never articulated. Oh,
she was like the serious one.
Very serious.
Yeah, I remember her.
But it wasn't until you got to – like, really, it wasn't until – there's a whole chunk on the Ellen episode.
Oh, of course,
about.
Yeah.
But each each episode of this series is talking about a specific thing where they talk about it's magnificent.
I want to watch it. What's it called?
It's called The History of Sitcom.
It's going to be probably a little bit surprising to me how many of these sitcoms I've actually watched over the years.
Oh, you would know so many of them.
Yeah.
Towards the more recent days, so every episode starts in the 50s, 60s and talks about, you know, it's all
whatever
black
and
white.
Is.
And I'll go through. They'll talk about there's an episode towards the end, I think it's the last episode, that just talks about escapism. So it talks about the silly things, so the Mr. Eds and the Flying Nun and Get Smart and those in the 60s, and it sort of traverses through the Mork and Mindy and the sort of the kooky ones, but it ends up sort of at The Good Place.
Oh,
and
yeah,
how you're
right.
just watching it to switch off. But it also talks about things that sitcom doesn't necessarily need to be a 30-minute show that's filmed in front of a studio audience, because if you think of Parks and Recreation, that's filmed outside.
Yeah.
And they said even things like 8 is Enough and The Love Boat, they said, well, really, they're a sitcom. Yes, they were an hour, but they're still a sitcom. They're still filmed in the same way.
It's live audience.
It's a live audience,
sort of,
more or less. So they, you know, they really, it's really interesting the way, even what we just talked about then, The Good Place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of exterior shots there. There's a lot of outside. And Parks and Recreation is all outside. Even The Office isn't in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah, true.
So it's really interesting how they go through this notion of encapsulating each subject into a half hour in itself, but just bringing in so many different shows. They talk about in the 70s, Maud and Good Times, and up to what was John Travolta's show?
Welcome
Back, Cotter.
Yeah.
So they're just bringing all this, and that, they talk about Welcome Back, Cotter when they talk about immigrants and race.
Yep.
It's just really fascinating because there's a, and all throughout it, you've got people talking who were actors in those shows.
Brilliant.
So there's Jan Brady talking, and there's Eddie Munster from The Munsters, who was, what, 16?
Yeah, probably,
now,
yeah.
60s now. And there's so many coming on, and Phoebe from Cheers, Phoebe from Friends. Sam from Cheers, who's also there from
Good
Place.
Oh, Good Place, yeah, yeah.
Fraser's there from Fraser Crane. There's people, Hot Lips from MASH is in it. And again, is that a
Hot
sitcom? Because that's filmed outdoors.
It was, but there was a laughing track, wasn't there?
And then she said, yes, there's a laughing track, but Love Boat had a laughing track. I'm talking about.
Too.
So they said it's really interesting, the dynamic between each and how, where does that border end? And you're just spending so much time enjoying, and they talk a lot about Roseanne. And they said in terms of, say, The Cosby Show and Roseanne, you can look at those and say, now what's happened to some of those stars is, you know, in today's age, obviously something that we need to deal with. But that doesn't take away from the content of the show and how it impacted at the time. So the one about class, there's an episode on class, and Roseanne's has a big part in that because they contrast that to Different Strokes, where, oh, well, that's, you know, all's good because we put these poor kids with this rich man and let's not worry
rich.
About whitewashing. So there's a whole discussion there about what's going on. We're talking to Jackie in, so she's one of the people sitting on the side talking throughout it. And again, The Cosby Show, we're talking to
Claire
son,
Huxtable?
Theo, yes. So he's there talking and saying how
Malcolm,
things went.
I think his name is.
Anyway. There's just so much going on. It's really busy. And the whole time I went, you and Steph will go crazy watching
this. This sounds brilliant.
It is just your thing. And I couldn't get over thinking, I need to talk to her. But no, I want to talk about it on the pod because I know she's going to love it.
I get it now. I get it.
Yeah, it's just fantastic.
SBS On Demand.
SBS On Demand.
Oh, it's brilliant. What else have you been watching?
That's taken up most of my time.
That's
8 episodes. I did watch a couple episodes of X-Files because it's my go-to.
Yeah.
And I've gone straight back to the latest two series.
Oh, okay, from 2018 or something like that?
I was
going
to say 5 years ago, something
like
that.
Yeah,
yeah. So I'm working my way slowly through those, nothing.
Just savouring or just like, oh, if you feel like watching. Yeah.
When I feel like it, I'll put one of those on.
Yeah,
got an hour spare.
Give it a go.
Give that a nudge.
Give it a little bell. Do you feel ready for a quiz?
Oh, my God. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
This is a Jeff Goldblum quiz. Because you said something about The Fly, the movie The Fly, and I went, that's going to be what the quiz is about.
Viewers at home, I sent Lara a text earlier today and mentioned Jeff Goldblum in The Fly, and it's obviously turned it's that happened. Into a quiz.
Thank you so much for the inspiration. So it's called Which Movie Came First? Now, you may or may not know these movies because I may or may not have known them when I started doing the quiz. Okay. But you got to tell me which one was made first.
Okay.
Hotel Artemis or Thor Ragnarok?
First, Hotel Artemis.
Yes, by 1 year. It was made in 2017, where Thor was made 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Good job.
I think of Thor as closer to COVID, so...
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. I know it's a silly way to think of it, but yes.
But that's how you're going to do it.
Jeff Goldblum. Can I just ask, are all these Jeff Goldblum related?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all Jeff Goldblum movies. Right. Yeah. That he starred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. The Fly or Earth Girls Are Easy.
Oh.
With Gina Davis and Jim Carrey.
He's done a few with Gina Davis. I mean, admittedly, they were married for a while.
I forgot about that. Have you seen Earth Girls Are Easy?
No.
It's really bad.
I'd say Earth Girls Are Easy is before The Fly.
You would, but you'd be wrong. The Fly was made in 1986 and Earth Girls Are Easy, 1988. So only a couple of years between those two.
Fly was 86.
Mm.
He must have been young.
Yeah.
I mean, he was.
What's he now? Early 70s maybe? Late 60s, early 70s?
He'd be late 60s. Oh. Possibly is early 70s.
We'll never know. There's no way of finding out.
No, no. If only there was some automated facility that we could look up anywhere
in
like the world.
Yeah, like a resource. Sort of reference. That, you know, there isn't. Not yet.
Technology's so slow.
I know. What about Independence Day or Jurassic Park? Which one of those two films came first? Quite big ones. And he's in both of them.
Put it out there. They were both in the video store when I worked there.
Okay. Well, try and cast your mind back. Which poster did
I'd
you see first?
Jurassic Park was first.
You're right.
And I only think that because I think we had the second Jurassic Park in the video store, which just implies that it may have been there earlier than.
Yeah. Okay. 1993 for Jurassic Park, and Independence Day was 1996.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep.
What about, have you seen the Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yes.
Do you think that was made before or after Independence Day Resurgence, which was the sequel?
Oh, my God.
Massive movie, obviously. Everybody watched it.
That's look, you look at my playing history, that's on most viewed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're only human.
I'm going to say Grand Budapest Hotel was first.
Correct. 2014. Mm-hmm. Independence Day Resurgence was a massive hit for the Independence Day franchise in 2016.
It actually was 2016, 7 and 8. It was in the cinemas for so long, people were just queuing up. They took their sleeping bags. They just couldn't get enough.
Yeah, yeah, it was a classic, that's for sure. What about, because Jurassic Park is not the only Jurassic Park movie. Like you said, there was another one, but there have been others. So I'm just going to give you two names of Jurassic Park movies that aren't the first one. You've got to tell me which one came first.
Right.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom or Lost World Jurassic Park.
Lost World Jurassic Park came first.
It did in 1997, so that must have been the second one, right?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Yeah, 5 years after the original. And Fallen Kingdom was 2018. I think it's the second last one because there was one maybe last year
there called was one very recently.
Dominion or something.
Isn't that where they all came back to it? Sam Neill and Laura Dern and...
Yes, that's correct.
But not Newman because he died in the first one.
Yeah.
Newman from Seinfeld. That's
from Seinfeld, yeah.
And didn't... Well, I was going to say they didn't get David Attenborough's brother back because he passed.
No, Richard.
Richard.
They didn't
yes.
get Rich. Sir Richard.
Sir.
They didn't get Sir Richard.
Sorry, Sir
These are two of my all-time number one tip-top favorite Jeff Goldblum movies, so obviously I left them till the end, and definitely not because I was running out of ones. Which one came first, The Player or the hit movie Vibes?
Oh, my goodness. You have just – it's like reading
classic.
It's like reading a fan tale. I've got the chocolate in my mouth. I'm unwrapping it. I'm turning and going, has anyone seen any of these? Because I don't know any of these. No, they needed to fill out the paragraph where they padded it up.
You probably don't need me to say the names again because you know them already.
But off by
the
heart.
The Player or Vibes?
Vibes would have come first for sure.
Yes. 1988, the exact same year as Earth Girls Are Easy. And The Player came out in 1992.
The only movie that I thought you might have said is The Tall Guy.
Oh, yes.
With Emma Thompson. And it was the first movie I saw Emma Thompson in.
Really?
Oh, I think Rowan Atkinson might have been in it, but it wasn't a hilarious Rowan Atkinson type movie. It wasn't a Blackadder or
He wasn't being Mr. Bean.
Yeah, he wasn't being that hilarity. I mean, he was funny, but he wasn't that crazy
different.
Funny.
I wonder if – I'm trying to think which one – for me, in terms of Emma Thompson, it probably was the Young Ones University Challenge episode, but that's not a movie. But I think
I have seen that, and yes, that was first. But this is the first time I saw her and can link back. Oh, yes, I remember seeing her in that.
It would have to be either Junior or Much Ado About Nothing for me. Would be one of those two.
For a while by then.
Yeah, but pretty sure I saw both of those at the cinema.
Both in the video store.
Oh, no, you're so cool.
She did a lot with Count the Brenner.
Yeah. Well, they were married.
They were married. I'm trying to think. There was a noir film they did set in New York. In LA, sorry. And I'm just trying to think.
Were they being
called.
English or were they being American?
Well, here's the thing. It was a thriller. And they were married, and one of them was having flashbacks to a previous life, and they were both in the previous life. But he kept only getting partial flashbacks, but there was a murder.
Oh, no.
And he couldn't work out who killed. Who killed. And I won't tell you the twist, but it was really good. I'm going to have to think what it was called now.
If only who killed Jeff Goldblum? He starred as the victim, the murder victim in that movie, obviously, I reckon.
Oh, good call.
So hang on, before we say goodbye and eat food, what was the name of that sitcom show again? On SBS
The History
on
of Sitcom.
History of Sitcom, okay.
Yes, SBS on Demand.
Brilliant. That was mainly for me and no one else. Well done with the quiz. Well done with all your watching suggestions. And on that note, Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.